Hi guys, guess what I got for Christmas? Yes, no internet. Thank you, Virgin Media, you're terrible. And your support service is even worse. I can imagine hell being stuck on the phone with them for all eternity.
On this week's show,
Spider-Verse does whatever a Spider-Verse does.
Have you seen Into the Spider-Verse by any chance, guys?
Maybe.
Okay. Insert Gareth's mystery section here. He's recorded something. We don't know what, but he's recorded something and he will be talking. I mean, it's Gareth. He's always talking. Never shuts up. And I talk about the Men in Black International trailer and talk about a little bit of Star Wars news and genuinely shoot the shit. So, let's get into it. Stay tuned. Everybody, geeks and gamers, girls and boys, something else, Spider-Man fans. Oh god, this is really hard, Gareth. This is actually harder than I thought. Men in Black, aliens, alien immigrants. Welcome to this week's Monkeying Up Punch podcast. And as you can say, tell, the one that's quite good at these intros is currently languishing at home, unable to come onto the internet because his modem is broken. But he has promised to record a section, which he is going to send to me. But as at the moment, I don't know what it is. It's a mystery. So we're going to have the mystery hour with Gareth. That's what we're calling it. Anyway, I am joined by Santa's little helper, Nige.
Oi. Okay.
Admit it, you get confused with Elf on a Shelf, don't you?
I walk hand in hand with my wife and they ask her how much for you, Elf. Like, he's handy around Christmas.
Okay, what are we talking
about? But elves don't typically have beards, you know.
Some do. Depends. Gnomes do. And they're small. You going for a new career? Could buy you a little red hat and a fishing rod.
I don't think there's much money in it, to be fair.
Well, it depends. Anyway, let's go with the rundown. So what are we talking about this week? Well, Nigel saw Into the Spider-Verse, so we're going to be talking about that. There's Gareth's Mystery Hour. And then we've got the Men in Black International trailer that was released this week. So we're going to have a chat about that. And then we're going to shoot the shit over a few little headlines this week. Anyway, Nige, do you want to kick us off with Into the Spider-Verse?
Sure, I'll do that. So I've seen it and you haven't. That is another one which I've seen, which you haven't seen.
That's two. I think the fucking sky's falling down on our heads.
Two in a row, mate.
There's going to be four horsemen riding down your street soon. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, the apocalypse is coming.
Yeah, and Damien's going to be knocking on your door. Anyway, what was it like, Nige? I've heard it's really, really good.
Now, I think it is really good. I'm just going to go straight out there and say it. I think it's really good. I'm not going to beat about a bush. I'm not going to say anything other than I think it's really good. The whole art style did confuse me at start because I hadn't really seen a trailer for it, but I wanted to take the kids to see a film, so we went to see this one. And considering they quite like Spider-Man and the Spider-Man game, it really was a good film to watch. Now, the art style of it confused me at first. I was sitting there watching the film. Mm. And in the first 5 minutes, I'm sitting there looking at it going, have I gone into a 3D showing of the film by mistake here? Because everything in the background, it's sort of got that like blue and red sort of half over each other sort of look, which you sort of get with a 3D glass. And I start actually looking around the cinema to see if anyone else in the cinema is wearing 3D glasses and I've made a grave mistake sort of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And no, it was just the style of the film. Anything that was like front and center is in focus and is clear, but anything in the background wasn't. It was in the style of sort of 3D, and I'm thinking, have I made a? I even checked my ticket for the seats to see if it said 2D on it, and it did. So that was a bit, in my opinion, that is weird to have that style in a cinema. It really did look like there. I know there is a 3D version of this, but I just found that a little bit weird to start with. After about 15-20 minutes, you do get sort of used to it and realize what they've done is they've used really old school type of comic book style.
Oh, okay.
I think
yeah, I
back in if you've I think that's what it reminded me of. Like, I don't know, really old, like 60s, 70s. No, that's not too old, but you know, 60s, 70s style, where they had mostly blues and reds to use, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the.
No, I'm
seen
looking
any
at,
images of what I mean.
But, I'm looking at the images now, and I can see there's one image where it shows it a little bit, and I see what you mean. But there's quite a lot of different Spider-Mans in this, if I'm right in saying.
Oh, yeah, there is. I only knew, before this film, I only knew of Peter Parker and Miles Morales, thanks to Gareth and you talking about Miles.
Yeah.
And now watching this film, I actually realise there's a fucking ton of them.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know about.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was a Spider-Man Noir.
Yeah, well, there's been many different ones, but the main one, including Gwen Stacy at one point, I think.
Gwen Stacy's in it, yeah.
And Doc Ock
as Spider Girl or whatever.
Doc Ock became Spider-Man for a while. But that was a comic book sort of story going on for about a year. But yes, there are others, but they tend to be in the sort of smaller comics. Miles Morales and Peter Parker are the most well-known ones, obviously, because Peter Parker is the original. But
Yes.
Who's the bad guy in this?
Well, he's... The bad guy is Kingpin.
Cool.
You've got Kingpin and you've got Doc Ock. Doc Ock is actually a woman.
Really?
In this. Yeah.
Okay.
Doc Ock is female, unless, you know...
is she from a different universe, by any chance?
She is the person working with Kingpin in order to create a machine that opens up the alternate realities. And basically what Kingpin is trying to do is he's bring his wife and son from an alternate universe through to his universe because they fucked off when he was beating the shit out of Peter Parker at one point. They sort of saw him in the act of doing it and they went, fuck this, I'm out. And they left him because he was beating the shit out of Parker. And obviously he blamed Parker for that because obviously Parker's in control of his actions. As you do. Mm-hmm. The whole film revolves around this fucking collider or whatever they're calling it, which Doc Ock is working on in order to bring the alternate Mrs. Fisk or whatever her name is, Kingpin, through, along with Son. So it all revolves around that. And whilst the original Parker is trying to stop him, Miles Morales has already been bitten. I won't ruin how or when, you know. He's already bitten and he finds himself in the same sort of location by accident. And he witnesses this fight between them two. And Spider-Man realises that Miles is actually the same as him. These two are actually in the same... multiverse. They're in the same multiverse, the same universe. So they haven't. Miles and this Peter have not travelled through multiverses yet. So they're in the same one, and Spider-Man says to him, look, I see you're pretty new to this and you don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to do stuff. I will teach you. I'll teach you how to do this. And this is basically Peter Parker, actually. There's a little bit, you know, showing him doing his stuff. And he's saying, I've been Spider-Man now for 10 years. And it's pretty run-of-the-mill. I'm pretty good at my stuff. And so forth. And that's when he meets Miles. So he's been Spider-Man for 10 years. Meets Miles Morales during his fight with Kingpin and stuff. Promises to teach him and tell him how to use his abilities and conquer his stuff and whatnot. And the fight then continues and he gets killed. During the fight, Peter Parker, as Spider-Man, actually has his head rammed into the beam of this universe thing. I don't know. It's like a beam. His head actually goes into it. And because his head goes into it, it sort of picks up the alternate Spider-Men from the different universes and brings them over to his current one. And so that is why all these different Spider-Men end up in the current universe. And then they all sort of meet up in the end and try to defeat the big bad, which is Kingpin and Doc Ock as well. There's also Green Goblin in this much later on down the line, and it's looks like a demonic version of Green Goblin. Not like in the films. In the films with Tobey Maguire, it's very much a case of a bloke dressed up in a suit, whereas this one, it looks like a demon.
Yeah, that's what the goblins look like in the comics. It was always my criticism of the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. It looked like a Power Rangers episode because the face just didn't emote. It didn't move at all. It was one of the worst decisions they ever made. That it being this demon mask, and then the goblin, obviously James Franco took it up in that god awful Spider-Man 3, and then again they tried it in Amazing Spider-Man 2, but that didn't work either. They've never ever got the Green Goblin right. They've never got it right. So it'd be interesting to see if it's good on in the cartoon. But yeah, he probably looks more like the goblin from the way you're describing it. Sounds more like the goblins from, because it's been more than one, from the comic books rather than the terrible film versions.
Well, what I liked about this one is, right, the Spider-Man in Miles Morales' universe is meant to be the most complete and competent Spider-Man. Now, one Spider-Man that gets pulled over is a not so complete and competent Spider-Man. He's overweight. He married God, who did he marry? I think he married MJ or something, right? Yeah, he married MJ, and he didn't want children, so they split up and are no longer on speaking terms. He was kicked out of his apartment. He lives by himself in a run-down shit apartment, about to get kicked out because he's not paying his bills, all that sort of stuff. You know, so he's the worst Spider-Man that could be.
Mm.
Yeah. And he's the one who gets pulled over first, and sort of Miles sort of latches onto him. And he's like, the other guy told me that he would train me. And he's like, well, yeah, can't be asked with that shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, very much a case of he's a bit shit as a Spider-Man. So, you do have him sort of hanging out with Miles. He sort of learns a few little things. But the only thing is, it happens so quickly with what's going on. Miles isn't ready by a long shot. He's not ready. And he doesn't know. He literally only just got his powers, and he meets up. A few other people sort of turn up at MJ. No, not MJ's. May's house, Aunt May's house.
Mm-hmm.
So they decide that the one thing that Miles and Peter would do, you know, fake Peter would do, is go and offer their condolences to Aunt May, because her Peter Parker has just died. And it was a whole big... He was outed as Spider-Man. They said Peter Parker was this guy. He was, so they went over and they saw her, and then that's where they meet spider people from other dimensions. And it was interesting because I didn't know there was any more. So you got Gwen Stacy, who is Spider-Woman or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you've got... some sort of
Spider-Ham.
Spider-Ham. I don't know what they called him.
I know.
It's actually Spider-Ham, actually. Yeah, Peter Parker.
Yeah, and then there's Penny Parker as well, I believe, in it.
Penny Parker is the Japanese one.
Yeah.
It's very manga. Very manga. And they've captured the manga cartoon type whenever she's on the screen, you know. With the emotives and the massive eyes that they've got,
mm-hmm.
They really captured that, and the robot has that as well. Quite cool, I like that. Apparently, it's a radioactive spider that lives inside this big mechanical spider suit. Who knew? And there's a link between that spider and the girl, mm-hmm. And then you've got Spider-Man Noir. Who is Peter Parker as well?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know there was a Spider-Man Noir,
mm-hmm.
but he's got a few comic bits in there. There's a bit with a Rubik's Cube, which I won't ruin.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite good. So what else have you got? I think that's all of the Spider people. And Dr. Octopus is obviously Olivia Octopus. Olivia Octavius.
Yeah.
Or Liv Octavius.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, good. So I think it was good the way they put this together. The way they managed to get all these different spider people together and working together, and how well they got on with each other eventually, you know. But it also, I would say, also Stan Lee's in it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I knew that.
Oh, did you? Okay. Yeah. Stan Lee's in there. He is a shop owner.
And cool.
Miles Morales, he is buying his first Spider-Man suit. He finds out he can climb walls and whatnot, and he's going, oh, well, I need a fucking costume. And he goes and he buys a costume, and it's Stan Lee. And he goes, what if it doesn't fit? And he goes, you'll grow into it. And then he looks at a sign and he goes, no refunds, no matter what. On the sign. And he tries on the suit, and it's fucking so small. It's like bollocks.
You know who it's, you know who it's directed by, don't you?
I think I saw, but I can't remember.
It's the people behind the Lego movie. And the people... Oh, yes. Lord and Christian or something. Christopher Miller. Phil Lord and Christopher Miller. They were the guys that did the Lego movie, I believe. And then they were on Han Solo before they were fired. So... Oh. Yes.
I wonder why they were fired from Han Solo.
Don't you remember? There was all this whole thing, and then they had to bring in what's-his-face from Happy Days.
Fonz?
The guy that directed... Well, I'm having a brain threeze at the moment.
Oh, the other guy?
Yes.
Not the Fonz, the other main guy.
Yes, yes, him, and I know his name, and Gareth's probably listening to this now and screaming it at me. But him... Yeah. Directed Apollo 13.
I can't remember his name, but I can picture him.
Him? Yeah, he replaced them. Ron Howard. There we go. Sorry, brain dead. Ron Howard replaced them. So, yes, but they've done Into the Spider-Verse. So, get me straight. Peter Parker dies.
Very early on.
So this is about Miles Morales, in other words. This movie is a...
This movie is a Miles Morales film.
Good.
And sort of complemented by the other Spider-Men. You know, you do have Pete Parker, you know, the not-so-good Spider-Man who's a bit overweight and all that sort of stuff, in it for a huge... huge chunk. He looks similar to the Peter Parker that dies, but this basically Porky Superman, Spider-Man is he has been Spider-Man for 20 years, not 10 like the good one. Yeah. So he's a little bit further down the line and so forth. But he sort of things happen and he sort of gets back into it and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, I really don't want to say too much because it is. I really did enjoy this, and the thing is, I went into this as normal, not knowing much about the comics and these other characters and all that sort of stuff. So, it would be interesting to know once you or Gareth have seen it, what you think, knowing a little bit of a backstory around these characters and whether or not they've nailed it. But.
I think it's interesting.
This is one.
Go on, sorry.
Yeah, well, I was going to say this is one where it did keep me and the kids hooked all the way through. It was good.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. And I'm kind of glad that Sony decided to not put Peter Parker front and centre. And I mean, I said this last time. I said when Marvel got hold of Spider-Man, I was questioning why they did Peter Parker because it's like we've had two Peter Parkers already and they're very close to each other, and the last one wasn't that long ago, and Marvel chose to go with another Peter Parker, and I think they had an opportunity, without trying to sound like, you know, some lefty thingy social justice bullshit thing, I think they had the opportunity to naturally bring in Miles Morales. And they failed on that. Don't get me wrong, Tom Holland is Peter Parker, and he is the best version of Peter Parker, in my opinion. Some people might agree with that, but the current Peter Parker in the Marvel movies, Tom Holland plays him. Brit. Just point that one out. He is a very good version of Peter Parker. I felt we could have done something different. We could have, you know, because this is the MCU, we could have gone with Miles Morales, and it would have felt natural, and it wouldn't have felt Marvel shoehorning in a black character for the sake of shoehorning in a black character. It would have been far more natural to do that. They could have said, look, we've already had two Peter Parkers, you know, do we want a third one? Why don't we do another Spider-Man? We have got other Spider-Men, and Miles could have worked. But Tom Holland is a good Spider-Man. I mean, he is the best version of Peter Parker. So I liked the last Spider-Man movie. Gareth didn't like it as much.
I thought it was all right, to be fair.
I didn't
mind it at all.
I'm looking forward to the next one, but no, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I am going to go and see this. I just haven't had the opportunity yet. But I am told it's very good. I have been told it is.
It is definitely good. Worth a watch. Definitely.
Fuck it. I love
the
Lego
movie. There is an after-credits scene as well. So, you know, as typical Marvel films, you get the initial few credits come up. And then you've got usually a skit or something there. A stinger. Well, you get a little, on this occasion, you get a little quote from Stan Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get the entirety of the credits.
Yeah.
Then you get another little skit.
Okay, cool.
I don't like the way they make you sit all the way through the credits. Nobody wants to see the credits.
Yeah, but it's a Marvel thing. I've been doing it for years.
I know.
Some of them have not. It's expected now. The trouble is, a lot of them are not worth it. They will never, ever top Iron Man. They will never top that because nobody knew it was coming. And when Samuel L. Jackson fucking walks in as Nick Fury, you're just like, every geek in the world, you know, all ejaculated at once. Oh my God! And it was like, holy shit, now we know what they're doing. And then we had to wait a further 4 or 5 years to see the Avengers, but it was fucking worth the wait. Yeah.
I would really like to see a proper film with Miles Morales.
Yeah, I do.
I think he's a quite a relatable character. You know, he's not the same as Peter Parker. He's decent, and his dad is funny as well. He dropped him off at school in the car, in his police car. It's even in the trailer. And he's going, "Say you love me," over the speakers outside the school. And he's going, "I'm not leaving until you tell me you love me." Fuck's sake. Epitome.
In Homecoming, they do hint at his existence in the Marvel MCU. You know when he's in the car park, Spider-Man goes to sort of interrogate that dude in the car park, and he has that spider bot, and the guy basically says, "You're going to have to be more intimidating."
I don't remember.
Do you remember that?
I really can't.
Spider-Man's like, he puts on that weird the iron spider suit, puts on that weird voice, and the guy's just like, "Yeah, you don't scare me." That is Miles Morales' cousin or uncle, maybe uncle something. Uncle, I think. Anyway.
His dad's brother.
Yeah.
Miles Morales, Miles Morales' uncle is in this film quite a lot.
Is he a crook?
He plays a big part. Plays a big part in this film.
But he's a crook, isn't he?
He is a crook.
Yeah. Then it's his uncle that's in Homecoming. It's his uncle.
So that would make sense because he is. You don't know at first. He just seems like an uncle. Just you know. He doesn't really get on with his brother, which is Miles' dad. Right. And they see, you know, they don't really see eye to eye and all that sort of stuff. And Miles' dad seriously thinks, he goes, "Yeah, I know you're spending a lot of time with my brother, but, you know, he's sort of not on the right path." And his dad's sort of indicating to Miles that he might not be the best influence. So, yeah, I'm not going to say anything more than that around his uncle because, yeah, you're right. I think if that is right and that is Miles's uncle in Homecoming, then they definitely have hinted at it. And would really hope that they go further.
It was definitely him, there was a point made of it. But they've hinted at his existence in the MCU. I would like to see them do it. I genuinely would.
That'll be good. I think that'll be really good. And I'm looking forward to any more that come out, especially with Miles in it. I think if they sort of keep his character traits and all that sort of stuff, I think that would be a decent film.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So
trying to see if it's been nominated for so much already. How is it? It's only just come out, start of December, but in November it won the New York Film Critics Circle Awards.
Because
it hadn't even been released.
It's probably previewed at the New York Film Festival. That does happen. That does happen.
Okay. Right. So that's all right. All that remains is to use Gareth's Bell type rating system of his film, and if it didn't confuse the fuck out of me at the start with the art style, me thinking, am I meant to be wearing goggles here for 3D? Then I think I'd score it a little bit higher. But yeah, I didn't realise that was the style, because the clips I'd seen of the trailers didn't look like they had that in it. So whether or not that's the problem with cinema I went to, or it actually is like that, I don't know. But I would give this a very solid, very solid 8.
So Gareth would probably give it a 7 just to be annoying.
Just to be annoying. Yeah, but I am. It's not an average film.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It's better than average. My average is a 5.
Yeah,
that is average. So I'm saying it's better than average, and I'm gonna say it's just that higher part. There's a couple of points in there, you know, because of that art style. I wasn't too keen on it, and I do think there could have been a little bit more comedy around the Porky Pig, Peter Porker. Could have been a few more jokes in there with him, because he's just a bit fucking weird. So they didn't use the manga one very much. They didn't use Parker Noir very much, and they didn't use the Porker, the Spider Pork, Spider Ham very much. They used Gwen Stacy a lot. They used this other Peter Parker overweight man quite a bit. So I would have liked to have a little bit more on those other three, because I've never seen them before. Make it a little bit more perfect. So anyway, that's it. I'd give it an 8.
I think it's going to get
eight
a sequel.
8 out of 10.
It's doing reasonably well. Although, have you heard that Aquaman is totally, totally thrashed Bumblebee, which is the new Transformers film, which I actually want to go and see.
Bumblebee's only came out today.
Yeah, and in the States, I think it's already been released. But it's smashed Mary Poppins. Absolutely smashed Mary Poppins. So Aquaman's doing very well, which I'm quite pleased about, because it's a very good film.
I wouldn't mind seeing Bumblebee.
I want to go and see it, because it's meant to be different, and it's a Transformers film not directed by Michael Bay, the world's greatest porn director.
Which means there'll be no explosions if you're closing a fucking door. Close the door. Boom! Fuck me! Yeah.
Artistic overflying shot. No, none of that bullshit.
None of that bollocks. Right.
Might actually be quite good. So I'm going to go and see that. But yeah, Aquaman's doing quite well. I think it is time for Gareth's Mystery Hour section thing. So let's go over to our correspondent in wherever he is, without his internet modem. So, you know, the world is currently over for him, because he has no internet. So over to you, Gareth.
Dad, what are you doing?
I'm waiting.
What are you waiting for?
I'm waiting for him.
Why have you got a shotgun?
Because I'm the man who's going to shoot Father Christmas. Okay, this is my review of Netflix's Bird Box, starring Sandra Bullock and John Malkovich. Now, the film itself, I found extremely fucking irritating. It was like a budget version of A Quiet Place. It kind of touted that there'd be some kind of creature, and we didn't get no fucking creature, and I was very upset with that. And then there was Sandra Bullock, who acted her fucking chops off, but unfortunately she's suffering from what I'd like to call Cher face, where she has exactly the same face as Cher, and her muscles in her face don't tend to respond to it. So there's her acting her fucking bollocks off, and her face isn't responding. The story happens around some creatures, as they describe them, are infecting people. So if they see these creatures, they get infected, and then they become suicidal. Now, it's funny, because I think the creatures are like the Annihilation-style creatures, but not as interesting, where Annihilation was the idea of having a planetary form of cancer. This is supposed to be having like a planetary form of mass depression to affect people. So they see these things, they get depressed, and then they die. The downside to this is the rules that govern the creatures aren't as consistent as they should be. Now, it starts off and everything's fine, and you meet Sandra Bullock's character, Mallory, who is a rather detestable character because she's a mother who doesn't want to be a mother. Not a mother who questions whether she'll be a good mother or a bad mother, a mother who doesn't want to be a mother. Now, in the story, apparently, she met up with someone in college, got pregnant, and he fucked off in one direction and left her alone. But given Sandra Bullock's age, they've kind of changed that around. Now, it starts off with her and her sister, because the film's in three parts. You've got the setup, where everything goes to shit, the bit where they're all hiding out in the house, and then the riverboat journey, which kind of intersects all the parts through the story. So we start off with the setup. So they're watching TV and they're hearing all these stories from around the world of people going crazy and killing each other and this, that, and the other. And it's terrible, yeah? And they see this woman who's on her phone in the hallways. Sandra Bullock's going for a prenatal examination with a sonographer. And she comes back after a thing, after an ultrasound scan, and she sees the woman now smashing her head against this block of glass, and it's like kind of what set it off. There's clearly no creatures around or anything around, and apparently you can see video of the creatures, and that will then set it off too. So she then gets in the car with her sister and they head out, and then they try to get ahead of this thing. So they said, right, we'll go back to the farm where we can have horses and this, that, and the other, and we'll be fine. Unfortunately, her sister sees something which we don't get to see, and we don't see what triggers her off. So it seems to be daylight is the fucking trigger, which makes no fucking sense, because you then get to see the effects of a creature via a freaking wind blower. So it's not, there's nothing there. It doesn't make any sense. I know for budgetary reasons you can't sit there and show kind of a Lovecraftian creature that's kind of in one dimension and another and this, that, and the other, and a Cthulhu-style thing that drives everyone insane. But it's like daylight, so there's no creature, but you look out in the daylight and it gets you. So if you stay inside with the windows closed, everything's fine. But you don't need to stay inside with the windows closed because you still get outside. It doesn't make any fucking sense. The rules for the creatures are utter bollocks. And it's infuriating to watch, because you'd expect to see kind of some kind of tall, kind of slender manish creature which is glowing or something. What it did remind me of is Skyline, where they would look at the blue light and then they'd get grabbed by the aliens, which made more fucking sense than this film. And that's saying something, considering not many people like the film Skyline. I thought it was interesting. I said that it was interesting, the fact that they did it on a tiny budget and they came up with kind of a new concept. Execution wasn't fucking grand, but hey, you know, these are kind of new people and whatnot, and I haven't seen the sequel, which is also on Netflix. But she gets in the car with her sister and they drive off, and then the sister sees something and then she crashes the car. She gets out of the car and then stands in front of traffic and gets killed. So Sandra Bullock is left on her own, trying desperately to try and survive. And she gets pulled into a house by John Malkovich's wife, who then sees this imaginary creature, which we have no fucking idea. There's nothing there to see. There's not like a light or even a fucking audible cue. So it's not like you kind of hear like the noise. Think of like Dead Space, when Isaac sees his wife and she goes all kind of glowy faced and like spreading light into his head to drive him crazy. So you have that, and then they all get in the house, and then the guys figure if you cover up the windows and everything, you'll be fine. So they cover up the windows and everything, and then they start running out of supplies, and then another pregnant woman comes into the house, and then it's like kind of you have this feeling that maybe being pregnant makes you slightly immune to the sense of everything and that. Anyway, they're in the house and they start butting heads and into a supply run. John Malkovich's character's a bit abrasive. He's a guy who does administration for bankrupt companies and whatnot, so he kind of instantly becomes a horrible person. He makes a stupid Trump quote in a supermarket later, and he was great in it. He was really interesting to watch, and you were rooting for him, believe it or not. The Mallory character, she was a bit on the detestable side. And I'll give you an example. Later on, you get a time jump of about 5 years, where her son has been born, and she's looking after the girl of the pregnant woman who broke into the house. and she hasn't named the boy or the girl, so she just calls them boy and girl. This is not a person that you want it to be. It's like, oh no, she's doing it to protect herself, because but it's not fucking practical, is it? Give him a proper bloody name, yeah? She does at the end of the film, and it's balls. Anyway, she figures out that the birds go crazy if these creatures are nearby, so you can use the birds as an early warning system, and you can put them in a box, and hence Bird Box. And it's like there's a bit where they're going down the river and they've got the birds in the box and the thing's been hit and things have been crushed and people have flown over and this, that and the other. Those birds should be dead. There's no two ways about it. Those birds should be dead. It's a terrible story to start with, I think. If you want to watch a film about depression or anything like that, watch The Fucking Road. Even if you're not depressed at the end of that, you're not human. It doesn't work. I didn't like Annihilation, but Annihilation did kind of get the idea of a kind of creature or entity that was like cancer. Yeah, that was its thing. It was an allegory for cancer, but the planet was seen as the body, and this little area was where the cancer was coming in, and it was copying people and going out into the world with these deformed cells, and that's why all the creatures were all fucked up and all the plants were all fucked up. This doesn't do that. This just doesn't make any fucking sense. You've got people who aren't affected by these creatures. Now, these appear to be the lunatics. So there's a bit where in the house before they get to the bit in the river with the time jump, and a guy comes in, and it's clear. It's so fucking clear that there's something wrong with this fella. So he comes in. And he tries to be all nice and that, but it's coming across as creepy, and then he locks John Malkovich in the garage and opens the garage doors. We don't know if there's a fucking creature or not. So the tension is just irritating. Is he going to be affected by the daylight? Is there a creature there? Oh, it's only when the story dictates that this shit happens, rather than the clear, sensible rules. So like kind of in Aliens, it's like you get attacked by a facehugger, thing goes in your chest, thing pops out, grows into a horrible creature, and then tries murdering you. Very simple rules. Terminator, yeah, wants to kill humanity by taking out John Connor or John Connor's mum before she gives birth to John Connor. Nice kind of simple rules that kind of make sense and ground the story and give it a kind of world. So the way they figure out getting around these creatures is to blindfold themselves. So they're then ripping off The Quiet Place with, oh, we'll be quiet, but with no monster payoff. And then they go back into the house where you've got the crazy person who's now in the house. You know he's crazy. He's locked John Malkovich in the garage, hoping that the sunlight will make him go crazy. Oh, you need to see what I see and all this shit. Ah, it's bollocks. So he's in the house. He's obviously something wrong with him. He played Rev in BBC Two's comedy Reverend. He played the Reverend in BBC Two comedy Reverend. He has all these pictures of what you'd expect the creatures to look like, or you were hoping to see later on in the film. And he's just got to a point in the thing where they're going on. I have started fast-forwarding it and just to see if I could see the fucking thing, because I was getting irritated. You've got the Mallory character, who is devoid of charisma. She's reacting, and Sandra Bullock is doing a good job. I think the script failed her, because I know that she can come across as more charismatic, but having a character who hates the idea of being a mother is a bad kind of thing, because it's like kind of women like the idea of mothers. Like every person's got a mum, and there's not many people who've got mums that don't like the idea of being a mum. Even if they're not good at it, they still like the idea of that they brought up some children of sorts. It's that kind of motherly maternal instinct and stuff. It was just missing from her. So we've got a crazy person in the house, and the crazy person then starts flipping all the things open and letting everyone see outside, but you can't tell if a fucking creature's outside. So as far as we're concerned, daylight is the killer. And the pregnant woman just given birth, she sees the light and then she just throws herself out the window, splat. Other people see it. John Malkovich comes up blindfolded with a shotgun to try and get the guy. And it's a horrible fucking film. It's really bad. It's like, I look at the previous things that they've done for Christmas for Netflix. They did Bright last year, which everyone kind of shat on. But Bright was better than this. Bright was like kind of, oh, what if Lord of the Rings was real? And what would it be like now? Yeah, and that was an interesting concept. That was something to work with. And you had Will Smith, who actually played an arsehole in that. It kind of changed around at the end. but he majority arsehole through that picture. And then the year before that, he had one called Spectral, which was really good. It was about 3D printed fucking ghosts. A show about 3D printed ghosts. And this, it was like kind of, we found a colony of blind people. So, we don't know how these fucking things work. It doesn't make any sense. You can see it through the fucking TV. You can't see it through the TV. You can see it through the window. You can't see it through the window. There's no indicators apart from the birds, which would be killed. Because if you put them in a shoebox, no matter how many fucking holes you poke in there, it's not going to happen. My father had to deal with the illegal bird trade at the airport. And the illegal bird trade was worth more than the arms trade and the thing, drug trade. And these people would try and get these things on planes, and he would have to then go and deal with all the shit, tons of dead birds, because people were putting them in, like, shoeboxes with fucking holes in. But that's not the point. The long and short of it is Bird Box is a terrible film. Understand that the story is fucking terrible too. The character, Mallory, is a horrible character. You root for the Trump proxy character, which is John Malkovich, because he's just more entertaining and more interesting. So, you know, it's terrible shite. Anyway, I give Bird Box a 2 out of 10. It is on the fucking negative part of the bell curve for me. It's not worth watching. It's not worth wasting your time. I think the best thing you could probably do is probably start up and just fast forward through bits to see if you can spot it. Everyone seems to be think this is great. This is terrible. The character's horrible. The concept is crap and not done very well. I get the idea what you're trying to do with the story. Doesn't fucking work. Yeah, doesn't hit the notes. Doesn't hit the thing. Your execution, utter failure. And I think that the basis of it wasn't done well either, because you should have had something tangible that was causing this. Yeah, it could have been like there's a dimensional creature or something, and it's kind of pushing through. And where you see like the tips of its fingers or something, where it's pushing through into our reality, those things that you can't comprehend cause you to have depression of sorts. Lovecraftian, but hey, what do I know? Anyway, back to you two.
And we're back again. Thank you for that, Gareth.
and if there wasn't something inserted in there because he hasn't been able to do it, then sorry about that. It was just a bit of dead air.
Let's hope. Right.
Fingers crossed here. I've got my legs crossed and everything.
What's next
on the agenda?
Well, we were meant to be doing the Christmas specials. I think we mentioned it in the previous podcast, but we're going to be fashionable this year. And we're going to do what everybody else seems to be doing and not having a Christmas special. We're going to do a New Year's one instead. And it's not because we couldn't come up with any ideas. Honestly, it's because Gareth's internet modem died. So Gareth couldn't Skype us.
Yeah.
And therefore,
He is waiting for delivery of said modem from his internet provider.
Which, so, being the Christmas week, probably ain't. I don't want to take the piss, actually, because it's not nice not having internet on Christmas Day, especially if you get like a game that you really want to play and it needs a fucking update, like a 40 gig update, which is what Spider-Man does need. Anyway,
Spider-Man,
I think so. Yeah. It's quite a sizable fucking update.
I can't remember. I did it so long ago, and yeah, I am still loving Spider-Man.
It's a damn good game.
Brilliant. I just can't stop swinging in there, because as soon as you start swinging, the music changes.
Yeah.
And it's a great bit of music. Yeah, and it's a good game. I just swing everywhere. And also, I downloaded the theme for the PlayStation 4.
Oh, there's awesome. A theme.
And so if you're in the menu, you've got a similar sort of music through the menu on the PlayStation.
Might check that out.
At desktop.
Have a look for it.
Anyway, we've digressed.
Yes.
What were you talking about next?
We are talking about the Men in Black international trailer with Thor and the Valkyrie, but out of Thor. So basically,
that's Ragnarok, wasn't it?
The two leads in Thor Ragnarok are now the Men in Black international. And this, when I heard that they were doing another Men in Black and it wasn't going to have Will Smith and what's his face, it's a bit upset, because I have a secret, I kind of like a little sort of secret
Tommy
love
Lee Jones.
For Yeah, Men in Black and Tommy Lee Jones. I love Men in Black 2. I don't know why. I like that one. And I thought Men in Black 3 was pretty good, even though there's not a lot of Tommy Lee Jones in it. But what's his face?
I can't remember number 3.
It's where they go back in time, and it's around the Apollo moon landings. And basically, the guy that voices Thanos is Tommy Lee Jones' younger agent. What's his fault? Anyway. But this one isn't a reboot because it's got Emma Thompson in, who was in the third one as the boss. Because I think the guy that originally played the boss died. Don't hold me to that, but I think he did. So Emma Thompson, she was quite a good standing. But this is meant to be international. This is meant to go to other MIB headquarters. So there's not just one in New York. There's one in London, and they go there and they go to other places. And it looks interesting. I kind of like the look of it. You can't not like the guy that plays Thor. You can't dislike Chris Hemsworth. It looks quite interesting. I love how they like pull the guns out and and the look on his face when he gets the gun. The trailer worked for me. The trailer worked enough for me to go, yeah, I'm going to go and see that.
I don't know. It's not the same without Will and Tommy.
Well, Will Smith's I'll
see if there's
blue.
Another trailer coming out. Cause it's due out in June. So hopefully between now and June, there'll be another trailer that is sort of shows a little bit. It did chuck a little bit of nostalgia in there as well, because the place that she goes, she walks in, is the same place as where Will Smith walked in. That was nice. And when she went downstairs into the area where she was meeting the fucking agent bloke, Chris Hemsworth character, that was the same. It looked the same area as Will Smith went. So, yeah, I am intrigued. I have only seen Men in Black 1 and 2,
You should see Men in Black 3. It is quite good. It has a more of an emotional storyline than the other two. There's more emotion in it, and it kind of goes full circle. And Tommy Lee Jones is in it a bit, but because it goes back to the 60s, it goes back to when he was obviously younger, and he's played by what's his face, who was in Deadpool and played Thanos.
Ryan Reynolds?
No, the guy that plays Cable. I've forgotten his name again. Probably guys screaming that one at me. Josh Brolin. Josh Brolin. I'm terrible with names. He plays a younger Tommy Lee Jones, but there's an emotional arc there, and it's quite good. It's quite good. It has time travel in it, and it makes it. And Will Smith goes back in time, so it's very much Will Smith in the lead role. But it's not that bad. I quite enjoyed Men in Black 3.
Apparently, it grossed over $624 million worldwide. Dollars worldwide. It
wasn't bad.
Quite a bit.
I have to say, I as I said, I have a secret love for these films, and the trailer did enough. I'm not going to say it was like this outstanding, amazing trailer. It wasn't really. But it did enough to hook me. Enough to go, okay, I might go see that at cinema. It's either
probably
going to be
really good. I'll probably need to go watch the other three films with the kids first, and then I'll take the kids along to this one.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the third one, you should. You should see that. But, yes.
Oh, and Emma Thompson is Agent O, is Agent O in Men in Black 3.
Yes, because I think the guy that played the original died. I think. I might be wrong, but I think he died. So she takes over, and she's quite good in the role. And she looked quite good in the trailer, so I'm up for that. I like Emma Thompson anyway, so...
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to say anything negative about it, because I don't think that it deserves anything negative about it. It was only a single trailer, so like the others, with Venom, there was extra trailers released, wasn't there? So let's see.
And although we were, I mean, obviously, we'll do our sort of try and do a New Year special next thing. We won't be reviewing Doctor Who because it probably wouldn't have aired yet. Not that there is. Have you seen Rotten Tomatoes? Seriously, it was 31 versus 94.
What, critics against normal?
Fucking disconnect there is just... It boggles the mind. But talking of, like, you know, things that were really, really bad, there's a new rumour around the Star Wars universe, as me and Gareth kind of predicted, although Gareth keeps claiming he's done with the Star Wars universe, still think he might go and I think he might watch The Mandalorian, especially if it's true, because the guy that was doing Rebels is working on The Mandalorian, and the rumor is that Sabine Wren is going to be in The Mandalorian, and that's going to be cool if she is, because she was quite a cool character and she is a Mandalorian, so it kind of makes sense to have Sabine Wren in there. But that could bring in other Rebels characters, which would be really cool. But apparently Disney are resetting the Star Wars universe. Now, I don't know what this really means, because when you say you're resetting the universe, what are you going to do? Just get rid of the last three films that you made? Because, I mean, you know, The Force Awakens, it was okay. It wasn't great. Some people have a problem with it, but compared to The Last Jedi, it was positively brilliant. So... but apparently they are not doing any more movies for a while. They're giving... The language used was giving fans time to heal. It is rumoured. But so by not doing any movies... But apparently Rian Johnson's trilogy has been cancelled. Yes. Yes. But if it was true that the Game of Thrones guys were doing a kind of Knights of the Old Republic prequel thing, I really, really, really would have wanted to see that. I really wanted to see that. It was that would have been an interesting era to go into, and I still think you could do that, but and make it darker, make it more raw, make it more Game of Thrones like in the Star Wars universe. That would have been something I would have liked to have seen. And the Obi-Wan movie sounded interesting, but it would appear that they are all on ice. So it's apparently Disney are resetting the Star Wars universe. I don't know what that means. I don't. But all I care about is that Rian Johnson's had his trilogy cancelled. Yeah, fuck you, Rian Johnson. Fuck you. I'm still angry. I'm still angry about it. I mean, I am more angry about The Last Jedi than I am Doctor Who, and I love Doctor Who. I'm a big Doctor Who fan. But I was kind of half prepared for it after Gareth, you know, did his thing at the beginning of the year. But The Last Jedi really pissed me off. Really pissed me off. It ignored everything that J.J. Abrahams set up, and it just was shit. There's no nice way to do it, and it tried to destroy my childhood. So fuck you, Rian Johnson. Anyway. I had to get that off my chest.
And so, that's a wonderful place to...
Yes, it's a wonderful place to end on. It's been a bit of a mixed bag this podcast this week. We are... we're sorry it's not a Christmas special. We were planning to do that, but unfortunately, as we said, Gareth's modem went bang. And Virgin Media being... Virgin Media are taking days to get a new one out to him. Hopefully.
Yeah, they initially said to him that they would get it to him for the 26th.
He should have recorded that.
was it the 26th? No, the 25th, sorry.
Ah, well, yeah, well, you know, good. Delivery
Tuesday.
Yeah, I know.
And he said, you do realise that Tuesday is Christmas Day? And he went, what? It was an Indian fella. So they don't.
You say that.
Celebrate.
My next door neighbours, who are Thai, threw a Christmas party yesterday. It was really good. And guess what, Nige? I had a Christmas dinner, proper turkey, and even better, it was the best fucking turkey I've ever had.
hands down, and I'm not even talking turkey in Thailand. I'm talking the best turkey. The fact that it was in Thailand is a miracle. But really good Christmas dinner tonight. Sorry, I had to get that. Fucking lovely. Fucking lovely. Really good Christmas dinner. I'm really pleased. But we're having a party tomorrow. So it's Christmas Day. We're recording this on Christmas Eve. So, in fact, in 10 minutes, it's Christmas Day here. So, Merry Christmas, you filthy animals. We are going to finish it off here. We will be back next week, hopefully with some kind of New Year special. We will have ideas. We're not Doctor Who, promised. So, yes. Have a great Christmas, guys. Wherever you are in the world, have a brilliant Christmas, and happy New Year if you don't listen to us before the New Year. He's rung in. So, Merry Christmas.
Mm.
Yeah, filthy animals.
'Tis the season to catch many films on TV and cinema.
Luther.
So enjoy your break.
Luther is back. That's the thing I'm looking forward to. That's New Year's Day. So yes, that's the thing that I'm looking forward to. I haven't seen what the movies are on this year because obviously I'm not in the UK. Anyway, guys, thanks very much for listening and downloading the podcast. And we will see you next week. Merry Christmas.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Bye. Thanks for downloading the Monkey Nut Punch podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Monkey Nut Punch. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Monkey Nut Punch.